Off the ball, rugby.
If Leinster lose the final, it'll be defence losing to attack. That is the way the game is shifting right now.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Robbery gets over the line! Try from Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78 Munster podcast for Munster fans. Coming up on this week's show, 8 wins on the bounce for Munster and a home quarterfinal secured. Simon Zeebo announces he's going to retire and Tom Farrell will be wearing red next season. All that and more to come on the Red 78 podcast. I'm Rory O'Hagan from Off The Ball. I'm joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. And Quinny, she's abroad again.
Traveling again, it's unbelievable, yeah.
We all have to say hush hush when Quinny goes away for a golf weekend and you're spilling my beans all the time.
Yeah, you can't hide or slip away anywhere, but you're caught. Looks like a nice swanky hotel.
It does, doesn't it?
There's a couple of lads in the back left there as well. So
I snuck in for the Wi-Fi. I'm in the Hilton.
Well, tell the listeners where you are then.
I'm over in Croatia getting some well-earned rest after listening to you for I don't know how many weeks now.
Yeah, you need that, all right, wouldn't you? How are you, lads? Fiona, how are you?
Good, yeah, good. Great. It was just came away the other day, so I'm away for a weekend. So you couldn't be missing this podcast, especially after last week's win. And it was great to even be able to sit down and enjoy the game without having my own game that Saturday. Mm. It was great just to really sit down, relax and watch rugby all day last Saturday. So I loved that.
Quinny, how are you, sir?
Good, thanks. Yeah, it was... enjoyable weekend again. Started Friday night, really. It was obviously we're going to talk about the match, but it was I probably said it last week. There was a bit of hesitancy in my voice, I think, and a bit of fear, but it was a great performance. And obviously Ulster beat Leinster, Glasgow lost against the Lions, so Munster amazingly because of that brilliant run could finish first, which would be very significant as well. So nothing this weekend. I'm going to London for the Champions Cup final.
Nice.
Doing the commentary with Off The Ball. So looking forward to seeing that the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
They shafted me. They said to be up to the Aviva for the semi-final and you get to go over to London for the final. I'll have to get on to them. They brought out the big guns for the final.
They knew you were going to Croatia.
Guys, as Munster people, do you want Leinster to win on Saturday?
It's an interesting question that I get asked a lot when I'm on Off The Ball regularly. I actually do. Mm. Will I lose any sleep if they don't win? No. And there's no point. It doesn't... will I be cheering on Leinster passionately? No, I won't. But I want them to win. And that's just the reality. So it's a debate that goes... I keep getting asked this. And there's a rivalry in sport. I think there's more Leinster people... And this is probably not... I like the bit of bitterness and the chip in the shoulder scenario that we always had when we played. But... I think actually more Leinster people would cheer on Munster if they were in the final than the other way around. But look, it doesn't matter. Leinster have built up a huge fan base now and they'll be jam-packed with loads of Leinster people on Saturday. So for Irish rugby, yes, I do. I think it should be a cracker of a game. They're definitely the two best teams in it. Mm. I think we've the two best scrum halves in the world as well in DuPont and Gibson Park. And these kind of weeks, Rory, they bring back kind of the memory of me being involved in those games. It's special and it's what players play for and playing in finals and being involved in finals. So, special weeks, certainly. And, I've kind of, where have the years gone? I was involved in a good few finals. We won two, lost a few. Mm. But they're very special. So, it should be a cracker of a game.
Fiona, what about you? Do you want Leinster to win?
I'd like to say no comment on that question. See, I'm still in the midst of it. I'm coaching Munster, so I have to buy into that bitterness when I'm giving my team speeches. But no, I think for Irish rugby in general, for the players, I suppose, that we hope will win the next World Cup, you know, hope to push on, that these guys can get over, because I worry about those final, I suppose, you know, people talking about the psychology of Leinster in a final and those big game players when it comes to those big Irish games. I worry if they can't push on with Leinster, that maybe there might be something there when it comes to those big World Cup games. So I look at that. But yeah, I love the old rivalry that's there still. It's all part of the game. But yes, I'll be watching, same as Quinny, whether hopefully they'll win. If not, I won't be crying at home. I'll be getting on about my day.
All right, plenty of comments reaching us on the show this week after that win for against Edinburgh that sees that Munster move to 8 wins on the bounce, Fiona.
Yeah, it was a great game and we've a few in. We have Pat said Zeebs looks like he's loving every minute and playing well. Happy retirement. Last week, skill on display for Anton Frisch. Try was outstanding, as handling from Jack Crowley's try. Rory Scannell was superb. Normally steady. Great results. Leinster may end up with a semi at the Bulls, and that's not easy. Dahi had, considering where we were 4 months ago, outside URC, top 8, beaten at home by Saints, scraped into Euro knockout stages with entire team of injured players. I'd say Munster will finish top of the URC and do first. It would be hard to say that, but a superb achievement. James had, can we talk about how good a season Jack Crowley is having? Man of the match last season. He's been absolutely terrific. And Cullum, if, and lads, this is a big if, there's a long way to go, and I know yet, but if Munster get the final with home advantage, would you prefer the larger capacity of Páirc Uí Chaoimh or the home comforts and incredible atmosphere of Thomond Park? I suppose you better touch on that one, Quinny.
Yeah, no point in getting ahead of ourselves, but this is the reality, and I don't think it's... I think many moons ago, I think when the permutations and the possibilities of certain teams getting, you know, winning a semi-final, they have to, the people in the background have to prepare for the eventuality of winning a semi-final and being in a final, i.e. travel companies, booking hotels, you know, the bells and whistles that go with preparing for a final. That goes on in every club, in every sport. You have to kind of look ahead. You can't win a game on a Saturday and suddenly you have a big game the following Saturday and say, oh, we got to go to an airline now and try and book flights. So sometimes publicly we hear about, you know, the T-shirts being printed or certain preparations or homecomings being planned, all this kind of stuff. And it gives ammunition to the opposition that, you know, you didn't win the match and you didn't get to the final, whatever the case may be. Like the Liverpool fans all booking the hotels in Dublin for the Europa League final. You know, so if they don't book the flights months and months in advance, they don't get them and the hotels. So obviously Liverpool are beaten, they're knocked out, so they have to kind of cancel them and give them back or whatever. Situation here with Munster is, the reality is, if Munster have to look at the possible situation of getting to a final. Now, it's a very dangerous one, this one, because you've 4 steps essentially. So you've got to beat Ulster first to finish first. You've got to win a quarterfinal. You've got to win a semi-final. Well, you've 3 matches essentially to win to get that home scenario. But we've always spoke about this with Leinster when they finished top over the years, that they've a path to the final and it's a home path all the way. It's there for a reason, that rewards the top seed. So if it was, look, I don't know. I think, and I said last week, I think initially I would think the novelty and the ability to bring more people to a game. I suspect that if Munster were to go on this, continue the brilliant run, which the skeptic in me keeps saying, God, it's so hard. It's so hard to keep a winning run going. Now, winning becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. But if they do get there, I would certainly, you know, particularly if it was Leinster they were playing in a final, I would try and take them out of Thomond Park, because they don't fear Thomond Park. Like, their, you know, their record there in recent years has been very good. Capacity would be reduced. There'd be lots of Leinster fans would take up their full allocation, etc., etc. So Cork could be something different, but who knows? I may be wrong. You know, Thomond Park is still an exceptional place to play, and it is still a difficult place for opposition teams to come. So I don't know. But look, I think it'd be amazing if they got that far, that to bring it to Cork. I think it'd be just something unique and different. Now, the Limerick people might be happy with me saying that, but if you can bring an extra, is it 18,000 to a game?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be an incredible showpiece if they got. But I'm not just giving this lip service. I think I'm thinking the exact same as the skeptics would be. Win your match first, and as a player and as a coaches, and they've got to, you know, Ulster coming down next week is going to be so tricky and difficult. And, you know, they've got to deal with a certain wave of emotion and pressure. Now, if Gloucester beat the Sharks on Friday night, basically Ulster need nothing out of the game. If the Sharks were to beat Gloucester, they get eighth place. They take that eighth position of qualification for Europe. So Ulster would then require something out of the Munster game, whether it be a losing bonus point or 2 points or even a win. So that'll be it'll be an interesting game for both teams, because essentially, you know, there is pressure, but not as much. And I think it's Munster worked too hard at this stage to mess it up, you know. So, you know, in knockout rugby, we saw what the Bulls did to Leinster a few years ago. It doesn't make any difference. I think it's a prime example of a full Leinster team and the Bulls coming to the RDS, knocking them out. So whatever happens, it's going to be incredibly difficult. And I listened to Johnny Barclay the other night talking about Munster, essentially, even though they've gone on a great run, they've kind of gone in under the radar as potential winners here. Yeah. Everyone now realizes this. There's something unique after happening here. Here with this incredible run, but they're not going to kind of not be aware and very mindful of them and going forward. And look, obviously knockout rugby, when you play knockout rugby, you're but they're on a confident winning run, which is incredible. So yeah, I think, look, for me, if it was me, I'd probably go to Cork. But look, it's a long way off, mm-hmm. Rory, and then circumstances can change. It depends who the opposition is, all that stuff. But I'm sure it's something that will be discussed and looked at if it happens. They could go there for a semi-final. Who knows? Yeah, you know, they'll definitely play a quarter-final if they get... They have the home quarter-final, so they'll definitely play that in Thomond Park. They could end up going to Cork for a semi-final. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But Munster in this position by virtue of their win over Edinburgh last weekend, coupled with Ulster's defeat of Leinster. Fiona, it was a narrow win from Munster in the end. They had to battle it out against Edinburgh. But look, a win is a win, a bonus point win at that. And I suppose, look, that's all you want, I suppose, going to Edinburgh.
Yeah, look, and coming out after the game, if you were talking to me and Quinny last week, we talked about how difficult it's going to be. And, you know, during the match, obviously, there were times where you thought they could have put it to bed, especially in that first half. I thought they were good, but... Look, a bonus point win away to Edinburgh is no easy feat, and you have to really look at this team and how they're performing. And I think someone wrote in, Gavin wrote in as well about Rountree and applauding him and what he's done. And the coaching staff have really picked it up. And what excited me about that game was in that first half, you could see Edinburgh were targeting the ball. They were going after those turnovers. I think they maybe had 10 turnovers, which is really unusual. Yes, a breakdown, but I also thought Jaeger got ripped a couple of times in the carry, a couple of big ball carriers they were going after and getting those rips and turning the ball over. So I thought in that second half, how Munster came out, controlled the game, how they went about their business, really improved in those areas. Probably not 100% either. Quinny, what was the line out, Quinny? Do you have the stats on that?
I think they lost one or two.
Yeah, they definitely lost two
line outs.
Yeah.
But again, it wasn't.
Yeah, no. So Wish, you know, coming off the back of that, I thought there how they control the game. Jack Crowley, take a bow. He was absolutely outstanding. Frisch, the tries scored were just beautiful to watch. And that's what, to go away from home and have the ability to score tries like they did, that backline attack, every time we see them, yes, there was a couple of changes. Scannell had to come in. There was Frisch was off for HIA back again. We saw people moved. Murray was on earlier than we would have liked. But what they done and how they attacked, especially off set piece, was just superb to watch. Not obviously their best game we've seen so far, but to go over and grind out a win like that was just immense for this team.
Honey, what stood out for you in Munster's performance?
Just their tenacity, their resilience. I thought that when they had possession, they controlled it pretty well. And you know, they didn't allow the game get away from them. There was a wave there, particularly early on, of pressure, particularly kicks in the air. I thought Munster didn't deal with them very well. I think it was strategically, Edinburgh kicked a lot and they put Munster kind of playing out. The sun was coming right into that corner. Mike Haley struggled a lot with that. And they put in some very good box kicks. So that kind of was something that was a problem from early on. And I was concerned with that. But for me, I think Edinburgh will look back at this game and their approach was conservative. I think they chose to try and kick a lot. Now, they were getting a return on the kicks, essentially, from Munster knocking it on or not retaining possession. But then probably off that sort of play, Edinburgh were poor. They couldn't get their attack going and really squeeze Munster. I thought Munster's work rate was outstanding. Their defensive effort, their physicality around the breakdown, and their ability not to panic when those mistakes were happening. Like, how many of them did we see? So, you know, Edinburgh retained 11 kicks in the game, which is a very high number. Munster retained 3. Essentially, particularly with the box kicks, the ideal scenario is you retain them. Somebody gets up, wins the ball in the air, gets a hand and taps it back, or you get a positive outcome from that kick. So Munster's was very low. Edinburgh's was incredibly high, but it didn't do a lot after that. For Bennett's try, you know, it's poor. I think Frisch, Scannell, Haley, they all messed up there. They should have went down that ball quicker. It was a fortuitous try. I think it was disappointing. And at one point, the game you think is getting away. But then Frisch, particularly early on, if you don't want the opposition at home to be getting a score up, but Frisch's try and the kick up the touchline was outstanding. It was a brilliant try. The second try Munster got outstanding as well. So they just look confident, Rory, and they look like they're match fit. And this was far from a perfect performance. You know, they ended up getting the 4th try with Gavin Coombs in the second half. Again, you talk about the late tackle from the perceived late tackle from Simon on Ben Healy. He's committed to the tackle. I think that's fine. There's a bit of grappling going on, and Bill Matta gets involved and it becomes a penalty to Munster. Munster get a big win there. I thought it was the referee at times was poor for both sides. I think he was very indecisive. I think there was a lot of breakdown situations where players are locked onto the ball and they're not getting rewarded. Jamie Ritchie was outstanding. I thought he had some brilliant turnovers. But I just thought at times, and particularly that decision, that's the game for Munster, isn't it? That's the bonus point win and that's the game. I thought the referee on that one should have just allowed the touch, had a little bit of a chat to Ben Healy and to Snyman. If he believes, and I think he was committed to the tackle, there wasn't any sort of malice or venom in it. But Bill Matta getting involved gives Munster a penalty, and then obviously Gavin Coombs scores. It's a brilliant try. And you just felt that they were going to score there. I've this different feeling, because the more and more this happens week after week, you just feel that they feel it themselves as players. So you asked me what was the most impressive thing. I just think their composure under pressure with a very, very noisy crowd who were booing everything.
Yeah.
They didn't allow that to seep in, and they didn't allow the mistakes to drop for them to drop the heads, and they just kept going and clawed out a brilliant result. Now for the second try, I think it has to be said, and when Venter scores the try on the 66th minute, how in God's name can the TMO?
TMO, oh my God!
Say that that's a try, and I know we're talking about Munster, and we're both Munster people here, Fiona and myself, talking about this. It's shocking. Mm. It's shocking that the TMO could award a try there, yeah. Because even if you're an Edinburgh fan, there is no way you can see the ball grounded there. There's no way he said stop at the last angle. He said, "Oh, you can clearly see the ball is down there. Move on." It was a player's
TMO,
wristband.
X-ray vision.
But it was a player's wristband. So if Munster lose that game and don't get a home quarterfinal or don't get don't finish top, it's significant. You know, I know Edinburgh needed the result themselves, but how in God's name he could award that try, Stuart Tarag?
After the French game, I think, Quinny, after that French game, I think they're all, when they're with this, it's not, it naturally looks over the line. They're all trying to break that barrier and be the first team out to say, yeah, look, it has to be a try here. But you're right. It was completely the tape. You could see it was clearly held up.
Yeah, the referee said it's no try. His decision is not to feel no try, that he thinks it's held up. So then you have to have compelling evidence that it's a try.
The
TMO is shouting that, it's down. And we can all clearly see in the picture, there is no vision, particularly that last shot. And go back and watch it. He's there. Stop it there. the ball is down. So anyway, look, again, long answer for me about what went right and where what impressed me. But that was shocking from the TMO, and it was a game Munster could easily have won, Rory, or lost. In my opinion, because they had a fair few mistakes and handling errors, and lost the ball in contact a bit. But what's become really good with them is that composure piece, and that they're battle hardened. And then you have the obvious stuff that we've spoken about: the impact off the bench. A lot of players look sharp. They look energetic, and they stepped up well, really aggressively in a tough environment on Friday night.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we talk about Simon Zeebo's retirement and Tom Farrell's imminent arrival, become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.